All right, let's pray. Our Father, there's one burden that's been prayed over many times, many times, many times, and I want to bring it to you once again. If we be in evil, this is on the authority of your Son's word. If we be in evil with a sin nature problem, to some measure are still able with the paternal instincts of family love, to some measure we're still able to do good. How much more will you give the supernatural workings of your Holy Spirit to them who ask? And so I'm asking you for the supernatural workings of the Holy Spirit. And what every family needs, what every person needs, I pray that nobody would leave here today without receiving from you spiritual discernment about some point of how to pray and how to pray with faith and be able to find resolution to the challenges that are before us. That we wouldn't keep on having the same old, same old, same old. I'm asking you to teach us how to pray so there can be resolution in the victorious life of your Son, Jesus Christ. And I pray it in His name. Amen. So we got over to the Sermon on the Mount from James by a very simple matter. In James it says that we ask and receive not because we ask amiss. And I was studying that last week in a great deal of meditation. And the Lord reminded me that the Lord Jesus said the exact opposite in the Sermon on the Mount. In the Sermon on the Mount, the Lord Jesus said, ask and you shall receive. And He makes it, He hammers it home here in the Sermon on the Mount. As far as the promise, the incredible surety of promise of answers to prayer. Now, I'll be preaching on Matthew chapter 7. But I would encourage you to go back to the Sermon on the Mount if you haven't recently. And the reason why I'd encourage you to do it is because I want to read this scripture to you. It says, if any man teach otherwise and consent not to the wholesome words. This is 1 Timothy 6:3. And where do you find wholesome words to get the answers you need? If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, and then he says, even the words. Anybody know this verse? Even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's foundationally important to go back to what Jesus said on any subject matter of life. And that's 1 Timothy 6:3. And when the Lord gave the Sermon on the Mount, He was giving foundational understanding of how to journey through life the way God intended our journey to be. And there's foundational principles there that it's the ABCs of the Christian life. It's like when I was in Bible school, one of my professors said everybody ought to be able to think their way through. Any pastor that's going to be ordained needs to think his way through Romans, because Paul sat down in Romans to give a systematic explanation of salvation, the righteousness that comes by faith. And we should all clearly understand that if we're going to be ministers of God, for sure. Well, I feel the same way about Sermon on the Mount. As a matter of fact, if I make it through James at some point, unless God starts changing my mind, I'm probably heading to the Sermon on the Mount for the very reasons I'm explaining right now. Because in the Sermon on the Mount, I'm only going to be looking at Matthew 7, but in Matthew 6, the Lord Jesus speaks to prayer. In Matthew 7, He speaks to prayer. And Matthew 5, He speaks to prayer. Matthew 6, He speaks to prayer. Matthew 7, He speaks to prayer. It's not just that He's speaking of it occasionally in the Sermon on the Mount. He's speaking of it continually. And I don't have time to get into some of the other in prayer meeting. I went over quite a bit of what's in chapter 6 in a very quick way. But I would encourage you, if you're struggling with your prayer life, and I don't think prayer comes easy for any believer, I encourage you to go back and just simply read Matthew 5, 6, and 7 and ask the Lord to teach you how to pray through what the Lord Himself says about prayer. Now, in John 16, 24 years ago, when I first got saved, when I was 18 years old, I memorized this verse. It's been a staple for me all through my relationship with God. And again, it's the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, the very same thing He's saying here in Matthew. John 16, 24, Jesus said this in the upper room discourse right before He was crucified. He says, "Hitherto have you asked nothing in My name." What does He say? "Ask and you shall receive." And what will happen in your soul? Your joy will be full. So if you don't have the joy you're looking for in your soul, learn how to pray. And learn how to see God answer prayer. Because the joy that strengthens us is knowing how powerful God is to resolve any situation we got going. And I'm telling you, nothing's too hard for our God. There's no situation that's too hard for Him. And by the way, don't ever think you got a worse situation than somebody else. Or don't ever think, I'm so far ahead of somebody else. Listen, we're in the same boat. There have no temptation taken any man but such as is common to every man. Now, with that said, He puts with hammer-like force the repetitive statements in Matthew 7. He just hammers it and hammers it and hammers it. He says, if you ask, you will receive. If you seek, you will find. If you knock, the door will be open to you. You would have thought that would have been enough right there. But He repeats it again. Hammers it home. Everyone who keeps on asking shall receive. Everyone who keeps on seeking shall find. And everyone who keeps on knocking, the door will be open. God is saying it crystal clear. Our Lord Jesus Christ is saying it crystal clear. That if we pray, now I want to make something crystal clear here about these promises. There's a travesty when God gives us a blank check and we think, well, we can just ask God for whatever we want to ask Him for based on what I just said and God's going to do it. Well, I need to qualify this. I need to qualify this. You got to read the whole Sermon on the Mount, find out what's going on. Furthermore, 1 John chapter 5 says, if we ask anything according to God's what? Will. If we ask anything according to God's will, we know that God will hear our prayer and answer our prayer. Now, if we're just out of self-will, we make up our mind what we want God's will to be, and we come to God in prayer, and we're twisting God's arm to get Him to agree with our will. We've already made up our mind what we want His will to be. We're going to be disappointed. We're going to be frustrated. I tell you, when you get in prayer with God, you're going to wrestle with God if you're really in prayer in the right way. And God's going to break you. He's going to break you of self-will through prayer. One reason why He wants us to keep on asking and keep on seeking and keep on knocking, because God He's needing to do a work inside of us. Amen. I mentioned in chapter 6, Wednesday night, it says in chapter 6, as the Lord said in chapter 6, He says, your heavenly Father already knows what you have need of before you ask. So the question comes up, well, why is there a need to pray? Well, I can tell you right now, you don't have to bring God up on anything that's going on. He knows a lot better what's going on than we do. And when we start praying about it, we need some clarity from God, spiritual discernment from God. And as we keep on asking and keep on seeking and keep on knocking, we get more spiritual discernment of how to cooperate with God. We don't make up our mind what we want God's will to be. Through prayer, we discern what God's will is and we cooperate with God so that His will is done and His kingdom comes and His name is honored. It's not about what we determine, it's about what God has purposed that He will do. Jesus said the same thing in John 15. He said, if, this is a qualification, ask and you shall receive. It's a qualification. In John 15, he said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you. Okay? Whose words? What did Jesus say? If you abide in me and my words abide in you. And when he finished the Sermon on the Mount, he said, if you pay attention to these words in the Sermon on the Mount, the words in the Sermon on the Mount, if you apply the words and the teaching of the Lord Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount, he says, your house will never fall. That's incredible. That's a guaranteed promise from the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, when he says house, he's talking about our personal life. He's talking about our family life, our married life. He's talking about our church life. Whatever house you want to use the analogy to, God promises Jesus Christ on the authority of the divinity of Jesus Christ himself, on the basis of the words he gave in the Sermon on the Mount. He says, if you take to heart, in your heart, we're not just talking about externals. There's plenty of people that are externally good-looking people. I don't mean physically attractive type thing. There's good-looking people. They're religious. They're moral. Some of them sometimes look better than us believers, quite frankly, outwardly. But don't be deceived. Man looks on the... Where does man look? Man looks on the outward appearance. I guarantee you, if you get serious with God in prayer, you're going to have to get past trying to make a fancy show to other people. That's what the whole Sermon on the Mount was about. These Pharisees that love to pray. They love to pray to make an impression on who? Make a fanciful impression on men. But they didn't even know God in their heart. You can be moral, you can be sincere, you can be religious, you can be a good-looking, outwardly, almost flawless as far as your life. I mean, just take Saul before he became Paul. Paul said, as touching God's law, what did he say about it? He said, as touching God's law, look at me. Outwardly, he said, I'm blameless. But I'm telling you, that's why Jesus in Matthew 23 said, You make clean the outside of the cup, but the inside of the cup is corrupt. And if we're going to get this praying stuff right, we got to let God deal with the inside. Amen. 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 We don't get power with God just by focusing on the outside. We got to get power with God by being willing to let God put his finger on what he needs to put his finger on in the depths of our being, to cause us to understand what it means to die to self-will and truly pray God's will be done. Now, the reason I say that is because God's a miraculous God. God brought the nation of Israel out of Egypt miraculously. We're talking 2 million. Listen, he can handle 2 million. He can handle one family. Amen. Or he can handle one person. But what the Israelites didn't have in their mind, and we don't have it in our mind neither, is God leading us to the promised land. Most certainly. Most certainly he's leading us to the promised land. But I guarantee it's not in our mind that we want to go through the wilderness. And so when we find ourselves in the wilderness and we find ourselves desperate for water, and the only water we come to in the wilderness is bitter water, your faith is going to be tested severely. Your prayer life will be tested severely. You will find out whether or not you have a strong will. We talk about strong-willed kids, children. Listen, we all got problems with it. Every one of us got a strong will. And when we find ourselves in these bitter places of life that God's allowed for glorious purposes to bring us to the place of the promised land, so we're ready to enter into the promised land. You're not going to get there by bypassing. The Lord Jesus was led by the Holy Spirit. He was led by the Holy Spirit into what? The wilderness. And so there's going to be some agony of trying to understand what God has allowed that we can't do a thing about. We can't do a thing about it. We can't change it. The only question is, will we get with God in the prayer closet and find out what He's up to? That's the only question. And cooperate with God to bring us into the promised land. I'm talking about right now. I'm not talking about when we die one day. I'm talking about entering into the abundant life of Jesus Christ in this life. Amen? Through prayer. Now, here was, let me give this illustration. Let's say I'm working for a company. I'm loyal. I'm dedicated. I've got a servant's heart. The company's prospering. And I feel like I'm worthy of a raise. And I need more finances to help meet the needs of the family. And so surely it must be God's will for me to get a raise. And so I show up to work one day, and instead of getting a raise, they tell me, "You are fired." That's going to be tough to deal with if my will is strong against God. I've got to be willing to get with God in the prayer closet and say, "No, God's bigger than this. God's greater than this. He's got really good reasons why He's allowing this to happen." And I guarantee you, God lets things like this happen. He lets things like this happen. Don't think that it's peaches and creams. You become a believer and you just float right on into the heavenlies in this life. It never happens, does it? Never happens. Don't ever think, "Well, I'm past that trial, man. Everything's okay now." No, there's another one and another one and another one. You've got to learn how to get resolution with God in prayer. You got to get in resolution with God in prayer. I'm not talking about getting it from somebody else. I'm talking about getting it from God. Through learning how to pray. God let Elijah's brook dry up. When you need water to survive, God let the brook dry up. That's pretty severe stuff going on. And the reason why God lets the brook run dry, there's multiple reasons for it. But in Elijah's case, and I guarantee you, when God lets your brook dry up, and God will, I hope to get to this, there's three aspects to asking, seeking, and finding. One is vertical, one is horizontal, and the other one is personal. The vertical aspect, I better get to it right now, otherwise I won't. The vertical aspect of asking and seeking and knocking is so that I can come into the wonder of worship of God Himself. I can come into the wonder of thanksgiving and praise and adoration. I was praying this morning and God brought to mind what it says over there in Revelation about the seals and the judgments and the bowls and all that stuff. And it says, "Who is worthy? Who is worthy to bring justice to this world and just judgment to this world and to set this world back in its proper order?" And you don't have anybody jumping up and saying, "I can do it. I can do it." Listen, none of us can do it. There's not a person living on planet Earth that can get this world straightened out other than the Son of God, the Son of Man, the God-man. He's the only one that's worthy. He's the only one that can get it straight. And if we don't get with God in prayer through Him, we're not going to get it straight in our life neither. God's going to get it straight one day. But I guarantee you, through prayer in the name of Jesus Christ and the righteousness of Jesus Christ and His life, God can do it right now in our lives. Right now. But we've got to come to God with thanksgiving. That is one of the evidences of being filled with the Holy Spirit, by the way. God, thank you for, thank you that I got fired. You know, I was thinking I was getting ready for a raise. Thank you that you fired me. Not that the company fired me. Thank you, God, that you fired me. Listen, not even a little bird can fall to the ground and some harm come to a little bird. God the Father is watching over all the birds of the air. How much more is He watching over me? Amen? Give Him thanks for the pressure. Give Him thanks for the problem. Give Him thanks for the testings. Give Him thanks for the fire. The fiery trials. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trials, as though some strange thing happened to you. Why has this happened to me? I deserve a raise. I don't deserve to be fired. Why is God letting... Listen, God's in charge. He's in charge. And there's one thing I know about my Heavenly Father. He's perfect. One thing I know about us earthly fathers, we're not perfect. Anybody say amen to that? We're not perfect. That's why every generation says, well, we got to try to figure this out because we know our parents weren't perfect. And then when they're done with their children, their children have to say, well, we got to figure this out because our parents weren't perfect. And that's why the iniquity of the fathers is passed on to the third and fourth generation, because we keep sifting through. There's no perfect parenting anywhere. It's prayer that brings the resolution and the blessing. It's the power of knowing how to get in touch with God in the prayer closet. My life verse is, unless the Lord builds the house, every ounce and every bit of my labor is in vain. If he's not doing it, it will not be done. The same thing about a church, by the way. No pastor can build a church for God. God can build his own church. Amen? You try to build a church for God, you'll find yourself resigning from the ministry early on. You say, Pastor, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to say we got to recognize our total insufficiency apart from Jesus Christ. If I don't pray, if I don't come to God in prayer, I must think I can handle something on my own. I must think, oh, well, I need him for this stuff over here, but this stuff over here I don't need him for. No, Proverbs says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't ever lean on your own understanding as if you got this figured out. Oh, I don't need to check with God about it. Listen, we need to check with God about everything, every time. That's why the Bible says pray without ceasing. Don't proceed thinking, I've done this 1,000 times before, I got it now. There was one time in the Old Testament when David was surrounded by the Syrians, I believe it was, and he went to God and he said, God, do you want me to go up against these Syrians? And God said, I want you to go up. They were in the valley of Rephaim. And God gave a great victory because he checked with God about how to proceed and what to do and what not to do. Just the next two verses says that Syrians came back again and spread themselves in the valley of Rephaim just like they had done the first time. And David could have been thinking, I've already asked God about this. I've already been through this before. Listen, every situation, you better take it to God. Every situation. Don't think that what happened with that situation will just follow the same thing in this situation. God's got a customization wisdom, customization power for each situation. So David prayed about the second one, and God gave him a different plan of action of how to proceed. It's a good thing he prayed about it. You know, there's one of the kings said he had a disease in his foot. And it says that he went to the physicians about his foot problem, but he didn't seek the Lord. And he died. I'm telling you, Jesus said, they that are sick need a physician. Yes, let's go to the doctor when we need to go to the doctor, but let's go to the Lord. Let's go to God. Because God alone, it amazes me with all the technology, medically, scientifically, all the modern advancements, we still find ourselves scratching our heads medically in many situations, knowing what to do about it, no matter how far we've come. And prayer is the only answer. Prayer is the only answer medically. Prayer is the only answer spiritually. Prayer is the only answer emotionally. Prayer is the only answer mentally. And don't tell me that Christians don't have emotional problems and mental problems. Prayer is the answer. Knowing how to pray and get resolution with God. If you don't get resolution with God, you're weighed down. You're weighed down. You're weighed down. You're weighed down. You feel like you're suffocating. You feel like you're dying. You feel like all the energy is going out of you. Listen, they that wait upon the Lord, what will happen? They shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. It's prayer. Waiting upon the Lord. The vertical aspect of prayer is my getting with God and understanding the hymn that says, I come to the garden alone while the dew is still on the roses. And what does he do? He walks with me. He talks with me. What does he tell me? He said, you belong to me. You belong to me. I'm your father. I'm watching over you. I'm taking care of you. There's nothing in that first verse of that hymn about me coming to God for blessings. Nothing in that hymn. It's delighting yourself in God. Delighting yourself in God in prayer. Isn't that biblical? Delight yourself in the Lord. It's biblical. That's why I say, you don't say, well, why should I come to God? He already knows what I need. The reason why we come to God is to know Him, to love Him, to fellowship with Him, to become like Him, to give Him what belongs to Him. Amen. Vertically, the vertical asking, the vertical seeking, the vertical knocking. Now, there's a horizontal aspect to it. And the horizontal aspect, that's why I put Luke, the passage in Luke in the bulletin, because you have to compare all the Gospels, especially when the Lord is giving us something, and make sure you get it all. In Matthew, he says, if you with a sinful nature know how to do good to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give good things to them that ask? In Luke, it says, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask? So there's two things there, two aspects of this praying, asking, and seeking. But what I want to focus on here is the context in Luke 11 that led up to what the asking, the seeking, and the knocking in Luke 11. And the context was importunity. And you'll find importunities all through the New Testament as far as getting answers to prayer. The Lord connects importunity with the asking, the seeking, and the knocking. And he talks about this man that had a friend that showed up in the middle of the night in his journey. He had some kind of crisis situation, some kind of emergency situation as far as his needs. And so the man had to go to his other friend that lived in the town. And he had to go to his other friend and said to his friend that lived in the town, one of my friends has come and I don't have anything to give him. Would you please give me what you have to help my friend? And you know what he said. You know what he said. He'd say the same thing I would have said when we had 10 children in the house in the middle of the night. Listen, we finally got them to bed. It took a long time to get them asleep. I'm not going to make a fuss now and wake them up. We can give you some bread in the morning. But because of the man's persistent asking, persistent seeking, and persistent knocking, he gave what was needed for the friend that was in journey with a crisis situation. Now, I want to tell you, this is the horizontal aspect. After the vertical, you got to get the vertical right first. After the vertical is the horizontal, and the horizontal has to do with me not coming to God for my own needs first. The whole reason why the Lord gave that illustration is the man went to his friend to get from his friend what his friend needed. Everybody with me? It wasn't what the man needed. It was what his friend needed. And if you want to find prayer open up to you, Intercessory prayer for others is very powerful to help you in your own prayer life about your own needs. If you want to ratchet up how to pray about your own situation, start praying about everybody else's situations. And I'm talking about persistently, continually. I'm talking about constantly bringing before God. Because listen, none of us can raise our hand and say, I don't have to pray. I know what these people need. I'll take care of it. I'll provide it. Every one of us has to say, listen, the only way this situation is going to be resolved is God got to do it. And if God doesn't bring power from above, and if God doesn't bring wisdom from above, and if God doesn't intervene in some supernatural works of the Holy Spirit way, we will not get the resolution we need. And if you can pray for others and see others get the resolution they need by knowing how to pray to God and intercede for others, I guarantee it'll help you with your own life. Guaranteed. It'll help you. Matter of fact, you'll know better how to pray about your own situations when you pray for others. Now, when it comes down to us praying for ourselves, Jesus first, others second, yourself last. What does that spell? J-O-Y, joy. Okay. Joy. I want to connect this personal aspect of asking, seeking, and knocking with activity. Because if we're praying, that's asking, we're asking in prayer. Now the seeking, that's like if somebody came and said, well, where is mom? That's asking. And somebody said, well, mom's in her bedroom. So what does the person do if she's in her bedroom? Start seeking her bedroom. You get to her bedroom and the door is not only closed, the door is locked. So what do you have to do? When you ask about mom, you're just asking. But the seeking and the knocking requires activity. And prayer, the wonder and power of prayer is discerning in prayer with God what He's up to, and then cooperating with God actively to accomplish it. Have you ever heard the expression, you got to put feet to your prayers? Anybody ever heard that one? You've got, there is a sense in which God's got to accomplish the work. But when we're praying about something, we've got to engage, act. We cannot be passive. I'm telling you, passivity is the devil's playground. The devil's opportunity. We cannot be passive and listen. There's situations that none of us feels adequate to, sufficient for, and we say, listen, I'll just pray about it. Listen, if God leads you to get involved with it, get involved with it. Get involved with it. God wants us to come alongside of somebody, somewhere, and help them. Amen? Now, we can't help everybody, but we can help somebody. And if we're praying about the people that God brought in our life, God does want us to be thinking, well, somebody else is going to have to handle that situation. Listen, everybody's got the Holy Spirit, if you're a believer. And so, we all should pray. How can I help? How can I, and I'm talking about get it clear with God. I don't ever have to pray and say, oh God, what do you think I ought to do today? It's kind of like, which one do you want me to do today type thing. It's always needs, always situations, always things. I was sitting there, I had 10 minutes before the luncheon started. 10 minutes before the luncheon started, I said, wow, this is great. I got 10 minutes here. I said, Lord, who do you want me to call? Let's use this 10 minutes here profitably. And I felt led to call a man that's come to the luncheon for years, hadn't been there for a long time. And he told me five times, he was so thankful, so thankful, so thankful. It's like I knew the Lord prompted me to call him. But I couldn't call everybody, but the Lord led me to call him. And he needed it. It was the Lord's timing. It was like, wow, thank you, Lord, for prompting me to call that particular person. You know, it's not like, I mean, I could have said, listen, I'm getting ready to speak. I need to get my thoughts together about speaking. No, I wanted my focus to be on who? Others. 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 The Lord said he came not into the world for people to minister to him. What did he come into the world for? Minister to others. Now, I was going to give you another illustration here, but I don't think I got time to give it about asking, seeking, and knocking. But when you're praying about something, there comes a point where you have to get actively cooperating with God. And I'm not saying every time. Sometimes you're praying about it and God's going to actively lead somebody else to do it. It takes a lot of spiritual discernment. Sometimes you step in situations you shouldn't be stepping into. Sometimes you need to stay out of situations. But there are situations we should step up to the plate on and step out on the water and say, well, look, God, I don't have a clue how I could help this person. God said, well, I got all the wisdom you need. I got all the power you need. Walk by faith. Get out there on the water. Take a step of faith. Pray about it and trust me. Amen. Pray about it and trust me. Pray about it and trust me. And obey me. It's not like we got an option in this matter. You know, if the Lord's prompting us to do something, we don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit. Amen. All right, I'm going to have to stop there. Let's pray together. Father, it's my prayer that you would teach us how to pray. I just said a few words here the last 2 weeks about prayer. I'm going back to James next week. But I pray we've said enough that our appetite has been brought up to the front line of teach me how to pray. I know I'm doing something with it, but Lord, teach me how to pray more effectively, more powerfully, understanding your power through prayer, that if we ask, we shall receive. If we seek, we shall find. If we knock, the door shall be open. And just one final thing I want to pray. There's no way that anybody could ever do anything I've said if you don't have Jesus Christ in you. When you read the Sermon on the Mount, the Lord made it crystal clear about the standards that are required, not just the external standards, but the internal standards of holiness and righteousness. Not what you appear to be outwardly, but what you really are inwardly. And the Lord made it crystal clear. We have to mourn over our sin because we don't have any fix for it. We can't fix it ourselves. No matter how good we appear to others, we know we are sinful inside. And we know we have a sin problem. And so the only way to be able to pray is to pray the sinner's prayer and receive Jesus Christ. Believe on Jesus Christ. Know that he's the only answer for your salvation and the forgiveness of your sins. He died in your place. He rose again from the dead to be your Lord and to be your Savior. And when you pray the sinner's prayer, Jesus Christ comes to live inside of you. We're not talking about going to church, trying to be a religious person. We're talking about, do you have Jesus Christ living inside of you? Have you ever been born again? Lord, if there's anybody that needs to be saved today so they can be able to pray in a proper way, I pray you would do that work also. And thank you for this wonderful service today. It's been so encouraging, so uplifting what you've done today, what you've put together. You do it every Sunday. We give you praise for it. This is your doing, Father. This is the Lord's doing, and it's marvelous in our eyes. What you're doing through all the body of Christ here at Greenville Christian Fellowship. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.